We are glad that you were able to join us today. We hope you found this podcast a blessing. If you would like to learn more about our mission here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org. If you would like to help support our ministries here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org/give, or mail your gift to Calvary United Methodist Church, 4700 Locust Lane, Harrisburg, PA, 17109. God bless.
Welcome back to week number two of our series, The American Church. The American Church. Just a couple of quick reminders. The American Church is any congregation or faith tradition of people in the United States of America who profess Jesus as Lord. So that's your United Methodist, your Southern Baptist, your Pentecostals, your Lutherans, your Episcopalians, your Assemblies of God, I mean, just even the non-denominationals, just don't tell them their denomination. They're all children of God in America, so that makes all of us the American Church. Also, some quick reminders, as I discussed last week, so I reiterate now, this series is not about my political opinion or party affiliation. I am neither red nor blue. As I said last week, I'm wonderfully purple. I'm blessed to serve a beautiful people who are Democrat, Republican, and numerous third parties. So, Democrats, I love you. Republicans, I love you. Libertarians, Green Parties, and anybody else out there that just thinks we need a third party, I love you. All right, now that I've covered all my bases, and everybody understands this is not a political sermon, I want to continue with one of my favorite pictures from when I was a little boy. It's a picture of me and my mother, and my grandmother is on your left, and my grandfather right above me. I had a very special relationship with my grandfather on my mama's side. His name was Tom Dove, but I always knew him as Papa. Now, Papa was like a lot of men from the greatest generation. He was a World War II vet. He saw combat in the South Pacific and was, from the moment I was old enough to play soldier, back when kids still played things like soldier, was my hero. Like a lot of men from his generation, he never spoke of the specifics of war, though for many years after his return, he would struggle with bouts of malaria and other things. And from the little I know from my own peacetime service in the Marine Corps, I can only imagine the additional struggles of both my grandfathers who served in World War II. Following World War II, Papa returned to Western Pennsylvania. That's where he's from. Where all my mom's side of the family is from. Did you know that about me? You thought I was just Southern, didn't you? He returned to Western Pennsylvania following the war. He went to work in the steel mills of Pittsburgh during the day while using the new GI Bill at night to go to business school at the University of Pittsburgh. Papa became a banker once he finished school, eventually moving the family, including my mother, to West Palm Beach, Florida. My papa died of colon cancer on December 10th, 1985, and is buried in St. Augustine, Florida. He was 64 years old, and I was almost 10. My papa and I shared a special bond. I was his only grandson at the time, and so I thought he walked on water. And I was around 7 or 8 years old when my papa started passing on to me items that he considered to be important, like his war medals and other memorabilia and mementos and things like that, and his coin collection. Y'all, I don't know if you know this, but bankers make great coin collectors. Who'd have thunk it? Now, by this time, Papa had sold the bulk of his coin collection, but he gave me what I believe to be a great treasure. And so together we sifted through the coins, and my favorite of all the coins were steel pennies. Steel pennies. Were some of you around when there were steel pennies? Please let me see your hand if you were around during the steel penny time. The rest of you, if you don't know about steel pennies, you should look that up sometime. He showed me the tiniest, the most beautiful details which could be found on both sides of the coin. You know, the head side or the tail side. That same coin, that one coin. So many wonderfully intricate details on both sides of the same coin. I want you to imagine if you went to a store and you used some coins to make a purchase. I know people don't do that anymore, but you say you used some coins to make a purchase, and the cashier said, "I'm sorry, we only take heads here." Or the person at the coffee shop said, "I'm sorry, we only take tails." And you were like, "Okay." And so you just flipped the coins at the other side and said, "Here you go." And they said, "Nope, it's too late now. We already saw your side." And you say, "But it's the same coin." And then the fight really begins. I think it looks a little something like this. By the way, this image is courtesy of our friends in Great Britain. This is how they view us. Friends, this is not the first time that the United States of America has been so heavily divided. What is troubling to me, however, is the unwillingness of many Americans to value other Americans with whom they disagree as equals. It's funny because the American church says things like, "Well, they just need Jesus." And you're right. Our nation does need Jesus, but America isn't receiving Jesus because the American church is failing to act like Jesus. Sadly, many American Christians are under delusion that their political divide is the holy side and that the other side is the evil side. Then, being the good Christians that we are, each side weaponizes the Bible and we start clobbering each other with Bible verses. We say things like, "The Bible says I'm right and you're wrong, so you're going to hell. It says so in 1 Thessalonians 6:66. Thank goodness you know enough about the Bible to know that joke just then. If you don't know, Hesitations is not a book in the Bible. That's my good idea. I said last week, I reiterate now, I think many people in the American church are under the delusion that the United States is a Christian nation. That's not true. The United States is not a Christian nation because we are not a theocracy. The United States of America is a constitutional democratic republic. However, Christianity, or at least many of our principles, are intrinsic to who we are as a nation. Moreover, as the nation was founded and then expanded west, so too did the American church. And I think that's why it gets so easily entwined. While we are not a Christian nation, what has been pivotal in keeping our diverse nation united throughout our divisive history are the Christians. When enough of us are willing to practice the root principle and blessing of our faith. And that is what Jesus coined as a new command. "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And at the heart of the love that Jesus has given us, in one word, is humility. C.S. Lewis wrote, "True humility is not thinking of yourself, or rather, is thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. What is the opening line of Jesus' famous sermon? What is that first blessing of the kingdom of God that we are given? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the beggars. Blessed are those who encounter God's grace and say yes to the love of Jesus. The love of God that saw Jesus suffer and die, resurrect and ascend, and promise to be with us to the end of the ages. A God who, listen, who loved his disciples so much that he washed their feet, just as he washes our souls white with the blood of his sacrifice. Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, put everyone and the entire universe above himself. He so loved because the love of God is first and foremost a humble love. And in today's lesson, Peter writes the following words to some arguing and divided Christians in Asia Minor. He says, summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all y'all. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job now. Bless. You'll be a blessing and you'll get a blessing. Now the NIV translates be agreeable as live in harmony. And I want you to hear something. God has no expectation that the world is going to live in harmony yet. Though trust me, by the time God's redemption story is done, there's going to be harmony. See, a group of people cannot live in harmony without humility. And friends, the world is not a humble place. Pride and self-assertion, these are the antitheses of humility, and they disrupt harmony. Peter's words remind us that the church is called to model harmony, but this can only be done when everyone in the church is willing to live into the blessing of humility. Now, I only knew my grandfather the last 10 years of his life, and I only remember the last 3 or 4 years of his life, but one thing I am certain of is that at least at the time I knew him, when our relationship was so close, I knew a man who walked with Jesus. I knew a man who was humble. And I'm certain he was not always humble. But he was always funny. He had terrible taste in beer, but that's another conversation. I think cancer humbled my papa. It drew him closer to Jesus. It filled him with a desire to connect as much as possible with the people in his life so that he could spend his remaining days loving them. Cancer, it numbered Papa's days, but it also gave him the extraordinary opportunity, listen, to prioritize his time around what mattered most, and that's being together. He wanted us to be together. He wanted us to be one. On the same night that Jesus gave the new commandment to love as he loved, Jesus made a prayer request. You know Jesus made prayer requests? As he prayed, he said, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. All of them, that means the beautifully diverse group of people throughout the last 2,000 years to the present, different nations, different tribes, different subgroups, people who have believed in Jesus and follow him. One means united, unity and diversity. It's the same coin. Jesus also said, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Brothers and sisters of the American church, our nation is divided. So is the American church. The American church is divided about a great many things, but sadly and most notably, it is divided along political lines. Seriously? Christians are identifying each other as Christians based upon whether or not they are red or blue. Really? Really? Red says to blue, you're not a Christian because you are blue. Blue are red, you're not a Christian because you're red. This isn't unity. How is this life together? A question I have often asked myself, and I now ask of you, is this. Are you willing to follow Jesus when it creates space between you and your political party? Are you willing to evaluate your politics in light of your faith, or are you content to keep allowing politics to determine your faith? Whom do you love more, Jesus or your political party? But I think the greater question to ask is this, and so if you've tuned me out or if you've gotten mad at me, listen right now. Who loves you more, your political party or Jesus? Why would we allow a political view or a temporary king to replace the eternal king? Why are American Christians willing to burn relational bridges over political views? Why? Our nation is very divided. If love is not spoken in and over that division, then our beloved nation will fall. Not from anything outside. I'll be honest, I'm thinking about the things. But from within. And while our nation is divided, the American church doesn't have to be. If the church can be united upon the most basic principles of our faith, then we can offer a living witness of unity in Jesus to our fellow American citizens. We can model what this looks like. And if we can model unity, then perhaps, just perhaps, we can speak peace into our nation's life. So how can we speak peace and work for unity? Number one, first and foremost, love as Jesus loves. That means sacrificially. And y'all, sacrificial love is the hardest love of all. It truly is, because it means putting the best interest of other people first. It means being uncomfortable. Listen, if you think I'm comfortable doing this sermon series, I am not. I am uncomfortable. Why? Because I could very easily become everybody's least favorite pastor, like that. And I'm a people pleaser, so I don't want to do that. It means being uncomfortable sometimes. It means spending more time, listen, in theological conversation and less time in ideological conversation. It means you might have to be intentional about spending less time watching television, cable news, or scrolling through social media, and more time learning about Jesus and learning how to love like Jesus. And if you're saying, how do you do that? Friends, it's called the means of grace. See, God gave us five things we can do. It's the study of Scripture. It's prayer. It's worship. It's acts of charity. That means doing good for others. And it's fasting. Randy, you don't look like you fast much. You're right. Not food. But I fast some other things. Definitely all cable news. I fast it all. I'll watch the news once a day, and I'll watch the national news after that. That's it. Anything else make me go insane? How else can we speak peace and work for unity? Humble ourselves. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Y'all, that means biting your tongue. Now, God graced me with a big mouth. You might not have realized that yet. God graced me with a big mouth, and I have spent the majority of my adult life learning how to tame my tongue. And it's still not quite tamed. That's why there are bite marks all over my tongue. But you know one thing I've noticed? It's awful hard to speak when your tongue is swollen from biting it. Lastly, pray as Jesus did, that we can be one. Like, actually pray, y'all. Please pray. Just pray. Will you be willing to humble yourself and pray like Jesus for oneness? Will you pray for those with whom you disagree? Will you seek to not end your relationships with people over political ideologies? I pray this week that we each will look for an opportunity to unconditionally love someone with whom we disagree, politically or otherwise. You know, my very first church, there was a guy that had a sharp disagreement with me, and he was awful to me. He said some terrible things to me. Enough so that I thought, I might not do this pastor thing at all. As I prayed about it, I thought, I think I'll just go wash his car for him. I'll just go wash his car. Could use a good washing. I don't have to say anything. I'll just go wash his car. Look for an opportunity to love somebody unconditionally. Maybe it's washing the car. Maybe it's taking out trash. Maybe it's saying hello when you don't want to. Maybe it's a smile. I believe that if the majority of the American church can pray for oneness and look for opportunities to love those with whom we disagree, then we might be able to bring healing to our nation. But listen, if we can't bring healing to our nation, we can bring healing to the broken. We can bring hope to the lost. We can bring healing to the marginalized. We can restore the hurting. And we can heal our own souls in the process, because we belong to the kingdom of God first and our nation second. And if the American church will get that priority straight, I believe the United States of America will have another good 250 years. And that's God's word. Seriously consider this day for Calvary Church, for the American church, for the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are glad that you were able to join us today. We hope you found this podcast a blessing. If you would like to learn more about our mission here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org. If you would like to help support our ministries here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org/give, or mail your gift to Calvary United Methodist Church, 4700 Locust Lane, Harrisburg, PA 17109. God bless.